listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
And welcome to Nerds Assemble episode 199. I'm Paul.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
Okay, you can find show notes over at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk on Stitcher and iTunes. Yep. Yeah. So this week we're minus a cookie.
Minus a cookie, but dealing with the first quarter to half of E3?
Yes, because we are recording when I think Sony's press conference has been on for about 50 minutes or so. So I think they started at 9 our time.
Did they?
Yeah. Okay. But basically, we're discussing so far what's come out of it, which obviously isn't a hell of a lot for Nintendo, but Microsoft and I think Bethesda have had their presentations. So
and EA as well, but apparently that was a bit of a oh dear.
I heard something.
I didn't watch it, but I experienced it via the osmosis of Twitter.
Yeah, was there something about YouTube personalities and it all going a bit wrong?
No.
Or did I imagine
YouTube
that?
YouTube personalities is probably no. Best not.
What do we mean by personality exactly? Do we mean vloggers?
Well, you know, people have got their own shows.
Shows, as in, like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, influencer types, you know.
Right, okay.
Probably the people I instantly dismiss as soon as they crop up on my recommended.
That's very possible. Okay, so...
There's a few who are nice, like Jupiter.
Like who?
Jupiter.
Jupiter, yeah.
See, plug, which who we previously talked to a few episodes back. There we go.
Self-plug.
And there's definitely an episode worth listening to if you haven't listened to it.
Yes.
There we go.
Plug yourself before you mug yourself.
Wait, what?
I'm not old.
Oh, this is terrible. I suppose we should probably talk about the... Am I getting the name right? Xbox One X? Is that what they're calling it?
It's the Xbox.
The Xbox? Yeah, that sounds more accurate, I think.
Xbox.
That sounds like, you know, a drunken mistake with your ex.
It could be. I mean, nobody's, like, obviously, like, handled this system yet other than, you know, Microsoft people.
So I saw Sharon... And there was an Xbox, and I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Anyway, funny story, I'm going to be a dad.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. Me getting laid, right.
Some Xbox pubs. No, it's more likely to be Switch puppies or something.
Okay, so because I haven't sat through any of the presentations yet.
I think this is where we kind of go to Retro. Retro, what did they say? What did they claim? Yeah, what happened?
They said, oh, look, it's a new machine. Oh, it's more powerful. Oh, it's even smaller than the Xbone S. See, that's where the name actually makes some sense, but only if you see them side by side. Because you've got the Xbox One S for the small, presumably. And then they go and make the Xbox One X... smaller than the
why didn't they just wait until they had this version, because then they could have called the XX extra small, you know, like you get with clothes,
or DX. It's like Nintendo used to do with all their let's make a Game Boy Game Color now, so it's Zelda DX, so let's have Xbone DX.
See, I think there's like a hidden generation of Xboxes that's Xbox One E, and just on the shelf at Microsoft headquarters. You have them all side by side.
You know there will be people with marker pens and stickers.
Shouldn't we?
There will be people waiting. Just
should we? Oh, when I say we, shouldn't we? I mean, Retro. Shouldn't we perhaps tell the dear listeners what is perhaps kicking under the casing of the Xbox One X?
Well,
it's Bill Gates himself.
Yes.
They've managed to miniaturize him.
He's tied up in the Xbox One, car boot, and is gradually getting himself free. And he'll burst out from under your television and, offer to fund your project or something. Anyway, the Xbox One was infamously underperforming in comparison with the PS4.
By that, do you mean sales-wise or do you mean power-wise?
I mean yes.
You mean yes? Okay.
Yes. It was infamously underperforming in that it had something like half the GPU performance of the PS4, which meant, of course, that's the reason why on these all these Digital Foundry and all the game comparison sites, it would point out, oh yes, the PS4 version is kicking along at 1080p, and then you have the Xbox version and it's running maybe 720p or sometimes a little bit lower, because it doesn't have the graphical grunt to be able to push the same number of pixels at that rate. However, then of course Sony unveiled the PS4 Pro last year for, I think, $400. And Microsoft have been working on the same kind of thing, and they've got a more grunty Xbone chipset core now, where it is more powerful than the PS4 Pro, although I don't have the figures to hand. And they've given it an extra 4 gigabytes of RAM, so that's available for the Xbox specific games. So they've got more RAM to play about with to do 4K as fast as possible. Blah 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 blah. And they've said that they've engineered it so that original Xbox One games will perform better because it's got a faster CPU, as well as having more GPU grunt. And as it loads things, it will use the extra 4 gigabytes of RAM over the original Xbox One as a cache, as a RAM drive, so that games will load faster into it. And then if you need to, if you need to do a replay, the old thing, we've all had that if you want to replay a mission that you failed or a race or whatever in a game, and you select replay or restart and you're faced with a loading screen and you just go,
but surely that would mean that you'd have to basically get updates for each individual game in order to take advantage of that, I'd imagine.
I think it's a mix of the system handles it so that the system just will just sit there and say, yes, here's the file, if it's asked for again. And, of course, the games themselves can be patched so that they will take more advantage of the system that's available. Presumably, Xbox One exclusives, especially, the old Halos and, things from developers that they own, will get Xbox One X patches to increased performance, increased resolution, all of that. So, by and large, it's sounding like quite a nice machine. Let's see. Before we get to the price, one other thing that they revealed. Now, they surprised people, was it a year or two back, where they unveiled Xbox 360 backwards compatibility, which was something that they should have had to start off with. If they hadn't changed architectures so radically, then they would have been able to. More or less, if they'd done a Nintendo with the GameCube to Wii U, then that would have been a lot easier for them to keep everything ticking over like that. But they completely changed everything, so yeah. They had to take a more radical approach to it. So Yeah, the Xbox One got back Xbox 360 backwards compatibility, and now, confusingly, the Xbox One has Xbox One backwards compatibility coming. Or rather, as they're calling it, Xbox OG, or original generation, or the real Xbox One, instead of why the hell did you call this the Xbox One, because it's really confusing.
That does sound really confusing.
Yeah, so they prompted this by saying, oh, we've got something else, and then they had the original Xbox boot up sequence, which was the sort of green pulsing plasma that forms into the, you know, the X.
Yeah.
Cut out from, you know, black. And there was lots of whooping, because, of course, American audience, they do like to whoop, don't they?
They, yeah, I think they do.
Yeah.
Sorry, any American listeners that might be here.
That are offended by the accusation that you like to whoop.
Yeah.
Most Americans I know are, you know, fully in the, yes, American audience is lots of whoop. And yeah! And woo! Etc. etc. It's like, yes, calm down.
That's such a British attitude. Yes, I know it's exciting, but please calm, relax.
Yes. You'll spill my tea. Good Lord. So, you know, they unveiled that, and then they showed it off with Crimson Skies, which is a game I really like, and I have a copy of Crimson Skies, but they picked the most boring level to show it off, because it's like, look, it plays original Xbox games. Here, have something which has just got lots of skyscrapers that you're flying in between with lots of identical skyscraper window textures. It's like, well done. Brilliant choice there. But, yeah. So they're finally doing it so that the whole Xbox One, because lest we forget, the concept behind the name was that it was supposed to be the all-in-one, you know, the one system you need for entertainment. Because remember all the TV stuff that they were going to do? Yeah, exactly. It was good, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, I remember the TV button on the Nintendo Wii U. And that never kind of left the US. And it's like, it was always promised, like, yeah. Oh, it's coming. Oh, we cancel it.
Yeah, it's a bad sign when it's like, oh, you can use the game controller as a television remote.
Or I could just use my television remote.
Yeah, or I could pick up the television remote, which you can hold in one hand and couldn't kill a man with.
Although, to be fair, now that I think about it, the Wii U could do that. It was the TV, was it that live kind of commenting functionality type thing? That was
It's basically any functionality like that is just a recipe for that's going to die a death and you're never going to use that button.
I mean, at least the TV remote functionality kind of, it did work. And I think I used it at the beginning, but then I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, because it was just kind of, well, it's there.
Mm.
Do I really want to use it? No, not really. It's like, I think my Wii has iPlayer installed.
Okay.
And that was kind of all right, but then I just used other things for iPlayer anyway because it was slightly more convenient.
Absolutely. And then you get people complaining that there's no Netflix on the Switch, and it's like, I've got like most of my other devices in my house can do the Netflix. I kind of don't need it on the Switch.
Is that my phone can do Netflix? My tablet does Netflix. There's Netflix on my PS3. It's probably Netflix on the 360, but I'll admit it's been years since I've turned on my 360.
If you've got a smart TV, then chances are you've got Netflix on Mac.
The downstairs TV has Netflix on it, for fuck's sake. So I'm not exactly, oh no, whatever shall I watch Netflix on? So, well, anything is what I'll watch Netflix on, apart from, you know, if something has Netflix, it's not really a... Incidentally, two things about the Xbox One X, which is they didn't mention anything about Kinect, so I don't even know if it's got a Kinect port, and they didn't mention anything whether it's got the HDMI pass-through.
Oh.
So okay. I don't even know if it's got that. But who gives a shit about those anyway?
Hmm.
apart from some really dyed-in-the-wool Xbox fans that I, you know, I know, who were incidentally defending the price. I mentioned before that the PS4 Pro was unveiled at $399, which is quite a good price for an upgraded, you know, gruntier console, which, as it turned out, since they unlocked the boost mode, as they call it, unlocked the higher CPU frequencies for normal unpatched games. So even if a game, say if you bought something and you really like it, but you were the only bug to buy it, and, you know, the publisher or the developer has gone under since, so it's never going to see an update. On the PS4 Pro, you can boot it up in, you know, with boost mode enabled, and it will get the, you know, the faster CPU.
Okay.
Speed. So, you know, you benefit from it. You know, there'll be less juddering in the frame rate if ever it did anyway. So, you know, that's good. But yeah, so that released for $399. They're doing a deal for $349 with two games at the moment. And Microsoft have come along and said, here's a Scorpio, which of course is the, you know, the code name for the Xbox One X. Mm. Can we have some more X's in there? I feel we could get some more Xboxes, so Xbox X, One X, Triple Xbox. No, there's what? No. That's a recipe for disaster. More X's. Yeah, they've announced it this for $499 or £449.
For the console, so, just itself.
Yeah. As far as I know, there are no pack-in games.
Yeah. I thought the Switch was expensive. I mean, the Switch is expensive, but yeah.
Well, the Switch, you're paying for a rather nice tablet, you know, custom tablet.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not slagging off the Switch with that. It's just it is nice console, you know, tablet hardware.
Mm.
And of course, it's customized to be that, and it has TV out, so it's effectively a home console.
Yeah.
But with this, yeah, they made all the big deal about, oh, it's even smaller, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's $499. The Xbox One is lagging significantly behind the PS4, both in game releases and game sales and console sales. In my opinion, the only way they could have stood a chance with this is if they price matched the PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
And then said, he is a better machine. And hey, instead of upgrading to a PS4 Pro when you've already got a PS4, why don't you jump over to us and we'll make sure that you can play all the new games in, you know, spanky, you know, 4K resolution.
Mm.
And you'll be able to play all the old games as well.
Yeah.
That could have been a nice seller, but they've decided, no, we're going to position it as a premium product.
Yeah.
For $100 more. Or around about £100 more. And personally, that's nowhere near tempting enough for me to go anywhere near it.
No.
Now, I had this conversation last night with a few, you know, Twitter peeps. And how many consoles can you think of where they released a more powerful than their competitor version and then had to price cut?
Well, obviously there was the original Xbox. That was technically the most powerful of its generation.
Yeah, which released in the UK, for example, it released at £300 when the PS2 was £200, and a few months later, they did a £100 price cut because they realized that with Christmas coming, there was, you know, it was a mistake, and they had to just bite the bullet, didn't they? And
yeah,
cut the price.
The PS3, that was really lagging behind at the beginning of its generation because of its price.
Incidentally, there are two things I heard about the PS3. You know, we all heard about how well it sold. When it, you know, on release day.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were the whole, you know, taking the piss out of Sony for saying, oh, you won't be able to find, you know, a PS3 in a store anywhere. And everyone going, there's a pile. Do you want me to send one? There's plenty. But yeah, I heard that there were shops that had PS3s just sitting there because they were not selling at the retail price of £425. Because and remember, that was $599. Remember when $599 transferred, you know, translated as £425? Thanks, Brexit. There we go. That's my little dig for the day. but yeah, it sold on pre-orders and then sat there. And I happened to know, you know, a friend who worked for an indie game chain that sank them.
Oh, blimey.
The PS3, because they were so... Because everyone was so convinced because the PlayStation had dominated, the PlayStation 2 had dominated.
Yeah.
So there was absolutely no question that the PlayStation 3 was going to dominate, right? This indie chain, which was in the, you know, the Midlands, you know, the Manchester-type area, they bet the farm on the PS3 being a big seller, and they just sat there with stock and it sank them.
Ouch.
So that was how successful that price was for the PS3. Keep wanting to say PS4, but yeah, PS3. And that is why there was that whole mad scramble for Sony, you know, releasing different models. It's like, here's one without the backwards compatibility, and then, you know, they were very quick out of the gate to do the slim version.
Yeah.
Which was, again, you know, cheaper. So, yeah, they realised that they had to do catch-up there, and they had to cut things out. And, let's see, the N64, when that was released, that had to have quite a significant price cut.
Yeah.
I think that didn't that release at like $250 in the US?
Well, I can't remember what it released at.
Yeah, it was something like that, and it got quite a big price cut, like $100 or, you know, something like that. Just because, again, it, you know, it was released, it sold well, but it was up against a competition that was outselling it by, you know, a massive margin.
Yeah.
And they realized, we're going to have to, you know, really compete on price here, because we can't just rely on brand and loyalty. So they realized that. And then, yeah, you know, there was the whole race that, you know, Microsoft did to get the 360 out of the door, infamously with, you know, slightly shrunky hardware. And with a DVD drive rather than a Blu-ray drive, which is, you know, why the PS3 was later and more expensive.
Mm.
But they realized that they had to get it out for us under a certain price and offer a way to get it even cheaper for the arcade version that they did without the hard drive, because that was under about $200.
Mm.
And then Microsoft come along after completely blowing, you know, the Xbox One release with, oh, everyone... You know, everyone's on board for the Xbox, and everyone will love Kinect because, you know, so many of you, you know, sold them, and of course you're definitely still using them now, and they're not stuck in a cupboard. And, you know, the whole, you know, I thought Microsoft might have learned from this. With them, you know, doing the whole, you know, price cutting, and then, oh no, you know, the Kinect is definitely an integral part of the system. And yeah, we'll just get rid of the Kinect then. I'm not even sure if you can buy it an Xbox One with a Kinect now.
Wow. Okay.
So that was something that they had to learn with. And then they do this. So $500, I'm placing bets that within the first year we'll see the Xbox One X get a price cut, quite a hefty one.
Yeah.
They're probably looking at the numbers and thinking, if we do the first Christmas, because they're releasing, I think, in October.
Hmm.
So they're probably looking at it and thinking, if we can just get the, you know, get this out there, and we'll get the, you know, the loyal customers to buy it, and then we'll reduce it in time for next Christmas. I'm hoping that's what they're doing, because otherwise it's just madness. Not that I have strong opinions about it anyway.
Okay, so let's move on to what EA has done.
I don't know, because I didn't watch the EA.
Oh, right, you didn't. Okay.
I heard that pretty much the only thing that they showed was, you know, that looked any good was Need for Speed.
Okay. Okay.
And other than that, it was just, I was seeing people in my Twitter feed being dismayed at how badly they were screwing it up.
Oh, wow. What, the conference or the game?
Just the conference.
Okay.
Because I saw a few, this is why Peter Moore worked for them. Oh, this is what happens when, you know, Peter Moore leaves.
Hmm. Yeah. So, cause I know there has been some hoo-ha about FIFA 18 for the Switch missing something. Missing, I think it's a gameplay mode. Because the gameplay mode was on the Frostbite engine, but they decided to basically do a custom build engine for the Nintendo Switch, and so they couldn't, you know, stick that on. And it's like, even though the Switch could run the Frostbite engine, they decided no.
They probably looked at when everything was due and decided, yeah, we may be able to get Frostbite running in the way we want on here, because I don't know. I mean, remember, the Switch is not a current-gen home console.
No, but by the same token, it can run, was it the Unreal Engine?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a very nice machine, yeah. But I think, you know, if you look at the size of it, it's a mistake to think that it's going to compare to a PS4.
Oh, yeah. But...
And, yeah, I've heard enough about PS4 devs trying to get Frostbite to, do what they wanted.
Really?
Did you read that tangent here, but related? Did you read that Kotaku piece about the making of Mass Effect Andromeda?
Yeah.
So precisely with the Frostbite is a capable engine, but it can be a right bastard.
Yes.
If you're wanting it to do something that it's not specifically designed to do in the way that it wants to.
Wow.
So do the thing. Yes, I will do the thing. Do this other thing. Nah. I'm not going to do that.
So basically,
unless you build me entirely, you know, back up from the ground.
Wow. So it sounds like the Frostbite engine isn't particularly fantastic.
Well, it's very nice. What I've heard from, you know, dev friends as well is that it's bloody brilliant if you want to do like an FPS. But right. If you want to do something that's more open world, or it's got different mechanics in or something like that, you have to make it.
But then why force everyone to use it if it's not, you know?
I think the logic is it's a nice system. We own the dev that makes it, because of course EA own DICE, who, you know, created Frostbite. It is a nice engine, but they're kind of looking at it in a, well, we own DICE, they make this engine, they make it, you know, the Battlefield games, so, you know, it can do those. All the other studios, hey, use the Frostbite engine. If it doesn't do what you want it to, then you put that in there, and then we can share it amongst the other studios.
Mm.
And it's like, well, that's a nice theory, but it rather does stink of that's the management.
Mm.
And, you know, they haven't gone to the people who are actually making these games and saying, how do you think about that? And just seeing the blood drain from their faces.
I mean, the implication from, I think, the one EA guy that was talking about it was that, technically speaking, the Switch could potentially run the Frostbite engine. It's just that they decided to go with a different engine.
Yeah.
So, for example, any Switch owners out there that want to play Battlefield, what is it? No, Battlefront? Star Wars?
Star Wars Battlefront
On the Switch, you never know. It's not outside the realms of possibility. Yeah, just not anytime soon.
Yeah, it's got less out the box capability of doing something like that. It would have to be quite heavily engineered.
Yeah.
And to be fair to them, if I was EA, I'd be looking at it and thinking, what's more likely? People are going to be buying this and playing it on Switch, or people are going to be buying it and playing it on PS4 or an Xbox One or on PC.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they had to stick their eggs in one basket or, you know, whatnot, then yeah, I can understand that. By the same token, I think most devs are recognising that the Switch is actually selling a lot better than the Wii U, so it's not so much of a financial risk.
There is zero doubt there.
Yeah.
Because for a start, whenever anyone saw Switch, it was like, oh, that's bloody good, I'd like to have one of those.
Mm.
And when the Wii U was being shown off, everyone, well, you know, as I kept pointing out, every time Nintendo showed it off at a conference, their share price would drop.
Mm.
So, bit of an indicator there. That didn't happen with Switch. People were, ooh, that's nice.
Indeed. And it is nice. And it's a great segue into talking slightly about the Skyrim Switch edition, which has added Amiibo functionality, which I'm kind of like, okay. I suppose it's a interesting bonus.
What I really want is there's specific functionality for like the proper Link Amiibo, and it looks like you get a chest that's got like Master Swords and like Hyrule Shield and some other things in it. But what I really want is if you use like the Wolf Link Amiibo and you actually got like a companion wolf to walk around with you, that would be nice.
That would be awesome.
But, and then it would just say, I am sworn to carry your burden.
If it doesn't, maybe you won't talk. Let's just have a not talking wolf.
But yeah, I mean, from what I can tell, it's going to be the remastered edition.
We see it as a game of the year. Game, kind of.
Yeah, that. That's
with the DLC.
Special edition? Yeah, with the DLC, as far as I can tell. I could be 100% wrong, but I
kind of hope it has, like, the DLC, certainly, like, Hearthfire, because I want to spend forever mining for ore and clay and stuff and building my house and by the side of a lake whilst, you know, waiting for the world to end because I've kind of gone off from doing my Dragonborn quest.
Now I remember.
I built my house. So screw the world, screw the dragons. I'm building my house.
But it's kind of interesting how the main draw for third parties sticking their games on Nintendo seem to be that they get stuff to stick in their games from Nintendo, like, say, for example, the Amiibo functionality. Or, you know, it's like Bayonetta's, you know, kind of, you know, switching out clothes, or Tekken, whatever it was, that was on the Wii U, had, you know, clothes that you can switch out, and Minecraft having, like, skins and whatnot, and that seems to be a thing, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you can sense my enthusiasm, can't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But but obviously Bethesda also showed off Fallout 4 VR.
Yeah, which I have not looked at, but I am curious about. However, my enthusiasm has been dampened a little bit because I watched the trailer for Doom VR.
Okay.
Which I mentioned before, the really horrible restrictions that VR can put on game design, where it can really screw with your body's equilibrium and cause sickness. If you can sense you're supposed to be moving, you know, if you're walking in a game, that can apparently really throw people off. And you know, at first it was okay. You got slightly weirdly disassociated hands.
Yeah.
In the trailer. And I, well, you know, my first reaction to that was, well, they're not going to move like that, are they? Because whenever I've seen anyone controlling anything in VR, it's been glitchy. When it's been based on, you know, mapping where your hands are supposed to be, yeah, or where you're holding the controllers. And then I noticed that you don't walk around in Doom VR, you teleport. You pick a spot and you just go to that spot.
Yeah.
And that's an instant no. No, I'm not going to be touching that with a shitty stick. If you're asking me to teleport... No, we kind of left that crap behind with Dungeon Master and Eye of the Beholder on the Amiga and the PC.
I'm just looking at Facebook a second, and Beyond Good and Evil's Facebook page have posted Journey to System 3 for the prequel to one of Ubisoft's most beloved games, and it's a official announcement trailer for Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Oh.
I mean, obviously, I'll obviously believe it just that bit more when there's like a game on systems.
Yeah, because they've had a trailer before.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we'll bloody see about that. And also my hesitation with Beyond Good and Evil was I really enjoyed it as a GameCube game.
Hmm. Okay.
So we'll see how a new one comes along. It is always amusing, though, when you have arseholes in the gaming community who say, oh, there's not a problem with sexism. And say, oh, yeah, name the female character and say Jade from Beyond Good and Evil. It's like, yeah, that was a GameCube PS2 game.
Hmm.
And if your other go-to is going to be Lara Croft, then fuck's sake.
At least go someone like Alex from Half-Life 2. But yeah. Then, even then, that's kind of a, you know... secondary
and
character?
And then point out that was that got converted a year or so after release for the original Xbox Half-Life 2. So we're going back quite a way.
Yeah.
Which, oh, I wonder if that's going to be backwards compatible on Xbone. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I kind of completely understand with what you were saying about you know, the problems with the VR at the moment, because I think, was it last weekend or the weekend before?
We
actually did manage to wrangle a friend's, what is it?
HTC Vive.
Yeah, the Vive. And I played some VR games.
Mm.
Like that Rick and Morty game. Got most of the way through that, and really, really kind of weird coming out of it. And like you said, it was kind of teleporting. You know, within the thingy, because obviously the confines of the room and whatnot. And yeah, it was kind of teleporting between, you know, kind of different stations within the garage mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that took me a while to get used to, but once I did get used to it, it was actually fairly, you know, okay. And then kind of coming back out of the machine, you know, the Tetris effect.
Yeah.
I had that with the VR. So it felt like nothing was real, like my hands were, you know, just kind of, you know, floating there and not really within my kind of direct control and stuff. It was, yeah, just really bizarre.
Little weird.
Yeah. I mean, kind of cool, but little bizarre.
Yeah, I can only think of a few things. It's a bit like, you know, 3D TV.
Yeah.
I can think of very specific things where that would be cool. But when it comes to most of the things, no.
I mean, I know some of the older setups with VR had those, well, kind of different systems for being able to kind of run and walk and stuff. But yeah, obviously those are going to be relatively bulky as well. Not room-sized, but, you know. Like that, there's I think that one with kind of a you're standing on a dome, like an inverse dome, slightly.
Yeah.
And yeah, you kind of run along on that, but presumably you have to kind of. I mean, not sure about the balance on those. whether it's kind of easy to lose your balance. And
yeah, well, whenever I've seen these, you know, these setups where, you know, people have been, you know, running around.
Yeah.
I just look at them and think, that is a lawsuit waiting to happen. Because if you get carried away and you, you know, you try and step too far.
Yeah.
And, you know, you catch your, you know, your heel.
Yeah.
On the edge of something and you completely lose your balance and you fall over and, you know, you possibly take the whole thing with you.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I've looked at those and thought, first of all, you look like a complete tit using that. So, you know, if you've got VR, make sure you're doing it alone. And then, second of all, it will be weeks until they find your body.
See, I'm surprised that VR hasn't kind of gone in the direction of more like kind of experience, like Days Out, like you know, Laser Quest type stuff,
that, where it's kind of more arcade-y. What I expected to be.
Yeah.
Eurogamer did a Star Trek Bridge Command, you know, VR video. And, of course, you know, the thing I always need to remember with those is that everyone has their needs to have their own setup and own VR helmet and camera so it can, you know, take, you know, and, you know, move controllers and things like that. So it's a hell of an investment just for four people to play a Star Trek Bridge game badly.
Yeah.
Which is what happens because everyone, you know, the hands get, you know, badly tracked and you need to recalibrate them and, you know, all this kind of thing.
Absolutely, so I completely agree. Sometimes it can be very, very jarring. I mean, I'm fine with, like, 3D. I'm fine with, you know, VR headsets and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't necessarily kind of get nauseous while kind of moving about and there's a delay or, you know, anything like that. But I know a lot of people would get, like, really bad, you know.
Yeah, and coincidentally, to get back slightly back on track, Microsoft have said that they've got no plans for VR at the moment because they just don't think that the technology is there at the, and the price is not there either.
Which is kind of interesting because what, a bit like 3D, we have had like VR games for like numerous years, and it's been like an expensive technology and it hasn't been a very robust technology. And it's always kind of run into major hurdles and problems. And, you know, we've seen this resurgence with Oculus and Project Morpheus, well, no, PlayStation VR now, and now with a HTC Vive. So, yeah, I can kind of understand that it's kind of a bit like 3D. It's kind of come back a little bit more, but it's died out because it's still a bit too much of a gimmick and way too expensive.
Yeah, I'm followed by a few VR devs on, you know, on Twitter, and I kind of feel a little bit sorry. It's like, yeah, following the wrong one. If you're going to want to, you know, maintain that enthusiasm for what you're doing. Well, I'm not going to be sitting here and going, oh, VR is amazing. It's definitely going to take off and no one's going to go bankrupt.
I suppose it depends on what you're doing with it because, I mean, playing games, I can't imagine that working out too fantastically, but... You know, say, for example, learning skills and tools and stuff like that. That would be, you know, like if it was more of an educational-based thing, that would be invaluable.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good as an additional thing, but I think it's a massive mistake to have games that are specific towards it.
Mm.
Like, I've got a few games that support VR, but I don't play them in VR. Because, for a start, I don't have a VR helmet. But... I played Elite Dangerous in VR, and it was really nice and immersive, and it worked really well because, of course, you're sitting stationary in front of controls, and then you can look around your cockpit and, you know, look out the windows.
Mm.
So, you know, that works, but that would be an additional thing.
I mean, there's this thing with, first-person shooter games where... If somebody's shooting you from the side, then there's kind of some sort of indicator to, you know, say which way you're kind of being shot from. And so far in VR, I haven't had anything like that. When you've had like a task to do somewhere in the environment, it's not really giving you that much of a clue.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I suppose you could maybe do that as an audio thing, but they probably found that there are too many things that disorientate you if you're, you know, supposed to be fully immersed.
Possible. But yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, move him back to, from VR all the way to E3.
Yes. Bethesda released, I still find it a little bit weird that it's Bethesda doing this, but since they bought id, they released, I think it was something like an 8-minute trailer for Wolfenstein 2.
Ooh.
And for, you know, the uninformed on Wolfenstein, it's an alternate timeline where the Nazis won the Second World War, so it's, you know, a little bit, it's a more sort of gung-ho version of The Man in the High Castle.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's feeling like it's trying to say something.
Yeah.
That does remind me.
Oh, no, go on.
It does remind me slightly of, because Doctor Who this week was... Yeah, apparently there was like a couple of it was gonna be more critical of Brexit, but it's only like allegory type thing, and they've kind of cut off a lot of that from this episode. And people were still complaining that it was like too political, and it's like you can't really separate politics from much of anything because politics is everything.
Yeah, and the people who say that you can are morons.
Yeah, they don't understand.
I'm not overly judging them. It's just they are.
Well, it gets me when people espouse right wing views and then turn around and say I'm not political. It's like,
yeah,
you've just gone on a rant political. That says otherwise.
Yeah, you're gonna say something like, "Oh, the Tories should be harder on, you know, immigrants." I'm not political, but and you get strap in. We're going on a wild ride.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, sorry. Seems to be a thing nowadays with kind of looking at Nazis coming back.
Yeah, I did like their press release, which was punch Nazis, shoot Nazis, stab Nazis, find all new interesting ways to kill Nazis. Is it? Well, fair enough then. No, don't hide what the message is.
Apparently not.
Yeah, but if you don't fancy the game, it's worth seeking out the long trailer for it, because it starts off live action where it's almost like a Lassie thing, and it, you know, it looks like old film, and you know, there's a little blonde girl, and you know, she's she's going shopping, and she's walking home through the fields, and you know, waving to the farmers, and you know, they're hello, and everything. And then she notices that there's been an accident, and there's someone trying to move this van, this truck that's fallen on someone's leg.
Hmm.
So she calls her Nazi robot dog. Hound thing to come along and it's a good Lasse or something. It's definitely not Lassie.
Hmm.
And it comes along, this big lumbering alternate 1960s Nazi war machine, and not only does it move, you know, it nudges the truck off the farmer who's got his leg trapped under it. Hmm. But it then sets it on fire and explodes it. Because it's a Nazi war machine. And that's what they do. And then it cuts to a 1950s, 1960s American TV quiz show. I think it was called something like German or Else.
Wow.
And, you know, shows a few more things. And then it goes into the, you know, game footage where it's, you know, what happened to, Bill Blastovich from, you know, the previous Wolfenstein games from, you know, when they relaunched them.
Hmm.
And, yeah, it looks quite good where they're staging a revolution. And they're going to rebel against the Nazis.
Good on them.
Yeah. And, of course, it's got 1960s music in there, but it's slightly Nazi-tinged because, of course, it's still America, but the Nazis are in charge.
Nazi tinge.
Yeah.
What
Nazi-tinged 1960s music. I mean, my favorite one is still from the previous game, where they had a cover of the song "Nowhere to Run to, Nowhere to Hide."
Okay.
And things like in the previous game, the trailer for that was there was a football game or something, and you know someone performed a foul. So the referee comes along, holds up a red card, and then shoots the one who did the foul. Because not only is he a referee and he's got the armband on there, but he's also got a swastika armband on as well.
Oh, fair.
So it's like, ha ha ha, alternate future where there are Nazis in America. Thank God that will never come to pass.
It feels like a less well-done Man in the High Castle, but maybe that's just me.
Well, it's done in a sort of, it's more of a schlock, sort of B-movie approach to it. But it is good. The Wolfenstein games. So I approve that it's back.
But were there any new IPs announced at all by anyone so far?
In the Microsoft show, there was the, and this is not a new IP, I will readily put my hand up to this, but the new Assassin's Creed was trailered, which is set in ancient Egypt. And as soon as that showed up with an assassin skidding down the pristine side of the alabaster pyramid, I was basically throwing money at the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And going, yeah, I want to parkour around ancient Egypt. Take my money. They showed a few other games.
Mm.
They had quite a few indies. Some looked more interesting than others. Nothing that comes to mind, because unfortunately, because Skype likes to eat the RAM on my tablet, I don't have them up at the moment.
That's fair.
But yeah, there's quite a few games that look quite nice, and I look forward to them appearing. There was the Anthem, which was a new IP from BioWare.
Oh, I did vaguely see a small trailer for that.
Unfortunately, it looks like it's like a Destiny spin on Destiny.
Hmm.
So it looks really nice, but they keep talking about combat and blah 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 in an open world, blah blah blah, and teamwork, blah blah blah, and my will to live just went blah blah blah. So yeah, please stop making massively multiplayer games. For a new IP, I think that's roundabout it. There's more, so when we post this podcast up, I can we can easily hook it up with the montages of the various new games.
Hmm.
Even though Sony is on at the moment, so we can't do anything about that.
Yeah, and obviously Nintendo's it'll probably be. Well, it might be out by the time this goes out. But, yeah.
So, would it be unfair of me to say, here, buy our old games and also some games from the Wii U that never sold on that because it was on the Wii U, but we're releasing them on full price on the Switch?
It's very possible. I mean, to be honest, I'm not 100% sure what to expect because, obviously, we've had the Zelda Breath of the Wild. It may possibly see more of a glimpse of the DLC content. We're going to be seeing more Mario Odyssey. Other than that, I think Nintendo
I'd forgotten that Mario reveal. That's a good sign, isn't it? The one that gave me flashbacks to Sonic Adventure.
I can see why, to be fair. Well, maybe that's how they cross over. That would explain why their Olympic Games is set in like Sochi and stuff like that. If they share the real world. Shall I shut up?
Let us speak not of this.
Yeah, I'm really, because I know a while ago, I think Retro Studios did tease, it was like, I think somebody asked, what's going to be your next game? And they did actually tease like an image of like a steak, like a Prime steak. So I'm really, really hoping that they're going to do like a Metroid Prime.
I bastard hope so. I may have mentioned before, I quite like the Metroid Prime games.
Mm.
I mean, I own them all several times over. I own, I own the PAL and NTSC Metroid Prime. I own, obviously, Metroid Prime 2, and then I bought Metroid Prime 3 on the Wii, and then I proceeded to buy the Metroid Prime collection, so I own Metroid Prime the original three times over and Metroid Prime 3 twice.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got Metroid Prime 1 and 2 on the GameCube, just the PAL versions, I'm afraid. We're not as hip as you. Metroid Prime 3 and Trilogy on the Wii.
Yeah.
So
it's like, I want to give you my money.
Please make me give you my money.
Yeah. Here is my money. I am ready to throw it at you the moment you say Metroid Prime Switch or, you know, whatever.
And not Metroid Prime Federation Force.
I'm sorry I didn't catch that. You broke up there. Also, if you'd said Metroid Other M, then what pardon? What sorry broke up again?
But what I'm really, really hoping for is third parties, because that is the one thing that does seem to either make or break Nintendo consoles. It's whether you've got third party support on there.
I think there's more of a chance there with the Switch than with the Wii U.
Yes, definitely. And I know they've got, you know, random stuff like, you know, Skyrim and was it Payday 2 coming to it as well?
Yeah, which was okay.
Yeah, it's like definitely not a franchise that I would expect would be coming to the Switch, but
Like, well, okay, you can if you want.
And once again, because, you know, I'm quite a bit of a Nintendo fan. I'm not sure whether I've mentioned this before. I kind of need to support the Switch. Even when we get like third parties that, you know, don't necessarily, you know, bring their A game to the console, you know, still, you know, purchased game. I mean, say for example, Injustice 2, I think I mentioned this last week, but I'm really hoping that comes to the Switch, because there was another thing on Twitter where it's I think Tobias Boone. No, Ed Boone. That's the one. Sorry, going too far into... Yeah. He kind of... I think he kind of commented like, oh, would people want a Switch version? Like, yes. And in fact, most of the replies were, yes.
Well, it's... You've got a system where... I mean, to me, it addresses one of the, you know, the main problems I have with the Vita, in that there were, you know, several games I really liked on the Vita, but not all of them I wanted to play on a portable screen.
Hmm.
So I really like the idea of, you know, the Switch, where you can play something portable, but you can also then, you know, plug it into your telly.
Absolutely.
And you can sit back and play it there. So absolutely brilliant. I will hand on heart say... I've not bought the, you know, the rejigged, you know, Zelda, you know, Ocarina of Time and, you know, Majora's Mask on 3DS, because I don't want to play them on a portable.
Hmm.
I want to play them like I did the original ones, you know, that I have. I have, you know, Ocarina of Time and, you know, Majora's Mask on N64. I played them on the telly.
Yeah.
I don't want to play, you know, something like that for hours on end on a little portable screen. I mean, I know the Switch is, you know, isn't that little. It's a 7-inch screen.
Mm. Something like that.
Yeah. So it's not that small, but I still would like to just be able to play something like that on the TV.
Mm. I mean, yeah.
So definite advantage there.
Yeah. So it is nice being able to take Breath of the Wild out and about, I have to say.
Yeah. So you can play it in the middle of a field.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
Yeah, and they go, oh, this is almost like VR. And then they find your crumpled corpse at the bottom of a ravine because you've tried to launch it open a log or something. This will work just like in the game. Oh.
And I have to say, because the way that the Switch works and its controllers, it is nice being able to just pull it out and, you know, kind of let other people play with it.
I'm not going to say anything to that.
But it is nice, isn't it?
I do like other people playing with it, yes.
Okay. I think we've done E3 so far to death.
And also After Dark.
Yes, apparently so. So, who wants to go first with what they've been doing?
I'll do that first if you want.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I've been doing out the loft and moving things around. Not exciting. There we go. That's that topic done.
Okay.
Slightly more fiddling about with the Commodore 64, but again, I've not really done that much there because I've just been too busy and tired. We finished watching House of Cards on Netflix.
And so did Emma.
And that was almost like, some more sane politics. This world makes more sense than the real one.
Hmm.
So, yeah, we'll go along with this one. I am looking forward to seeing what Claire does next. I'll just say that.
I am also wondering what she's going to do next.
Yes, I have a feeling she's going to be more devious than Francis. I look forward to seeing what she does. Yeah, trying not to spoil or anything on that. Watched Wonder Woman.
What did you think?
I wasn't as impressed with it as I thought I was going to be.
Is that because you held out too high hopes after the initial reactions of other people?
Maybe, but also one of my fears was kind of slightly delivered. And it's the fear, I think, is also one of the main reasons why my wife didn't like it as much as she was hoping.
Okay. What fear was that then?
The love story.
Ah, right, okay.
Where I just thought it will be really lazy if they just have Diana come out of the, you know, her world and enter the human one, and she learns the value of human life through the power of love. And oh, that's pretty much exactly what happens.
Mm. I still maintain. Well, actually, no, because I don't want to spoil anything for any viewers that have yet to watch it. So I won't speculate. Well,
I've tried very. That's not a spoiler, is it? Because it was heavily.
Well, no. That's not a spoiler.
But, yeah, I'm not saying anything about any of the rest of the plot. Other than it gets a little slow in the middle, and then it's a little bit too superhero-y at the end.
Hmm. It does. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, without going too into it, because I mean, one of the things about the superheroes is that a lot of the time they end up battling with forces that are unknown, if you know, like, as in, you know, using weaponry and kind of energies that, you know, humans don't know about, type thing. That type.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's very few that are like, yeah, I'm going to blow you up with a rocket.
Well, okay.
But yeah.
But so what do you think of that, Emily? Or are you glaring at me?
Meh. I mean, I really enjoyed the film, but there were a couple of things I was a bit about. But at the same time, though, it was still a lot better than DC's previous.
Oh, hell yes. It is the best DC film that they've done so far.
Out of the sort of like this take out on the universe.
Yeah, Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, it is better than those without a shadow of a doubt.
It's also a million times better than Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting about that one. That's a bit of a sign, isn't it? Yeah. So it's the best one that they've done. But I just thought, oh, they've gone for, you know, it just felt a little bit tropey.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I can... Because obviously there was a female director, but by the same token, studios above with, you know, probably doing the usual thing of, oh, well, we've got a set up for this film and that film, so we're going to restrict you to a certain extent.
Yeah. I mean, comparing it to other origin films, definitely better than, say, Thor and Captain America. I mean, yes, I know they're a Marvel, but they're all superhero, you know, yeah, big budget films. And, you know, those were ones that were kind of explained away as these are origin films that they're, you know, they're establishing, you know, their characters and things. And, yeah, so, you know, it's better than those, but it still kind of smacked to me a little bit of them because it didn't seem that big, even considering, you know, the backdrop that they use for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I liked it, again, I think more, you know, more than you know, my wife did. But, yeah, I just kind of came away from it going, I thought I'd like that more.
Fair.
Mm. But still, better than Thor, because Thor is shit.
To be honest, I can't
even remember. The new one looks like it's not going to be shit. So
yeah, I'm actually kind of looking forward to Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah,
mostly because the complete change in direction.
And yes, and I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman being in Justice League.
See, I'm not too sure about Justice League. So I mean, at the moment, well, I mean, I suppose it depends on what you look at because. I think trailers nowadays, especially for superhero films, you have the action trailer and then you have the story trailer.
Yes.
And it's like the action trailer has been released for, you know, Justice League, and you've had like teaser trailers and whatnot before. And it seems very, very action-y to the extent that I don't even know who the main villain will be in Justice League.
I've got a suspicion that we won't care.
Hmm. It's very possible. And
it would be a bad guy X, and say, well, yeah. I don't care.
I kind of felt the same with Spider-Man Homecoming, where it's like the first trailer was like very action-orientated and it's like, oh, a few quips here and there, but yeah, it's going to be the same old, same old. And then kind of looking at like a later story trailer, and it's like, oh, no, it actually tries to tie in with the Marvel Universe a bit more. Now I'm kind of slightly more interested.
Yeah. So yeah, Wonder Woman, good, but
could have been
I don't
better.
Know. It could have been better, but better than the other ones.
Yeah,
that they've done.
And still hopeful on the character.
Yeah. I hope that that you know the whole love story thing, which is it gets on my nerves whether it's. You know, the main character is male or female. It's just, oh, this again.
Yeah. I know what you mean. It is a trope.
Yeah. It's just like it annoyed the hell out of me in the Thor films, especially when she just, you know, wasn't really in it in the second one.
Hmm.
Natalie Portman. I can't even remember what her character's name is in that. It's Natalie Portman's character.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have a character really, she's just there.
I think yeah,
which I think
right.
is a terrible waste of you know when you have someone like Natalie Portman playing a you know a role. But yeah, the Wonder Woman character you know, seems better, and I'm hoping that will be out of the way now. Let's see, what else have we been watching? Doctor Who, which I quite liked this episode.
Yeah, I quite liked it as well. I mean, it's we've had quite a few recently that have been kind of set on Earth, either present day or, you know, Victorian era. And so it's kind of nice to go back into space.
Yes, and have one of the old baddies back who haven't been in it for years, the Ice Warriors from Mars.
Absolutely. It's like, not every human's a good guy. Not every alien's a dick.
Yeah, it's just quite a few of them on both sides.
Yes.
let's see, what else have we been watching? Must have been something else. I think we've just been gunning through House of Cards, and then we've been watching iZombie as well, which is, you know, ticking along nicely in this all.
Yes. Been watching pretty much the same stuff, haven't we?
Yeah, it's just, let's watch House of Cards. Oh, there's a new episode of iZombie. Let's watch that as a sort of a significant change of pace from
absolutely
House of Cards.
We stuck that on because I think we're kind of sick of hearing bad news recently. So it's just been like, we need something light to stick on. And it's like, there was an episode of iZombie that we needed to watch. And we watched it. And it was good.
Very
dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, but good.
Well, as I've described it before, it is, you know, it's bubblegum.
Hmm.
But that's fine. It's perfectly watchable bubblegum, and I enjoy it. It's not going to win any awards. Dark Matter is back on TV, I think.
Okay.
So that would be quite good. You haven't watched Dark Matter at all, have you?
No, not yet.
Have you watched Killjoys?
No, I haven't actually.
Well, you've got two seasons of each, and yes, they are slightly, you know, slightly cheap sci-fi produced series, but they're actually, you know, reach above their, you know, slightly humble origins.
Hmm.
And they do some interesting things. So yeah, I do recommend watching those. Desperately thinking there must be something else we've been watching.
Well, I mean, we've got down five things, let me say.
Yeah. I've not been playing anything lately. I just haven't been. I've been dabbling with, you know, Commodore 64 hardware and software, but that's around about it.
That's fair.
And sorting out the loft and such, because it was in danger of engulfing the house.
Okay.
And now it's getting slightly more sane. You know, like piles of books looking a little bit dicey.
Ah, yes.
Piles of books, piles of magazines, you know, all that kind of thing. And it's like, oh, yeah, there we go, I found systems.
Okay.
Including, did you know there were book adaptations of Auto Man and Airwolf? And Street Hawk?
No.
Have you heard of Auto Man and Street Hawk?
Not those two. I've heard of Airwolf.
Oh, jeez. Screw you, I'm not old.
Okay, so...
get off my lawn.
So...
et cetera.
Yeah, we've been... I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos based around woodwork and, like, metalwork, like smelting and stuff.
Okay.
Is
there something you're planning on, or is it just...
I'm not 100% sure. I would like to, you know, kind of use the videos to kind of help me, inspire me to do like woodwork or metalwork. You know, I just kind of like the idea of kind of having the skills of working with my hands and whatnot to actually create something physical.
Yeah, I know what you mean. For the longest time, I was watching Ben Heck videos, you know, before I started fiddling with any of the electronics.
Oh, yeah.
I was, you know, watching those, and, you know, half of it was, I understand that, and the other half was, he might as well be doing incantations. You know, spell tome, tiny thing, tiny electronic thing. It's like, ooh, what's that do? I don't know.
Oh, dear.
And now I kind of do. Mm. So it, that, you know, that's nice. But yeah, when you're watching something and you're finding it interesting, you might not grasp it all, but it's kind of inspiring and things.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like the one thing that keeps on hitting me every now and again is like, he's using a lot of tools here. Now I've got, you know, a fair amount of tools myself, but the tools that he's using to do just basic things in woodwork, they're gonna cost a fucking bomb to buy.
Mm.
I am never gonna have the room or money to be able to do stuff like this, but I still want to, yeah, do stuff.
Yeah, that you see, this sounds very familiar to me. But then I found out that you can, you know, well, especially with electronics, if you're wanting to do very specific things, you know, the more you find out about it, the more you can, it's like, yeah, you can just get away with a few things.
Yeah.
Just use them in very similar ways.
Hmm. Definitely. So what else have I been doing? I think you've covered a lot of what I've been doing, like Doctor Who and iZombie and stuff like that. And obviously Wonder Woman the other week. No, I think mostly watching YouTube videos, to be honest.
So, I've been doing my favorite, you know, one of my favorite pastimes with YouTubes.
Oh.
You know, with the YouTubes, which is, there's some electronics, there's something about sci-fi, there's a conspiracy video about UFOs, and there's a neo-Nazi. So, I'm not interested in that channel. Please go. Yeah. Here's some sport. No. Here's some kids' nursery rhymes. What the hell? No. All, you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
With it, I think I might be the only person in the world whose YouTube recommendation seems to, you know, I think mine is haunted by Hitler.
My YouTube is haunted.
Yeah, it's, you watched a Star Trek Next Generation clip. Have you thought about white genocide? And say, no. No, I haven't, because it's not a thing. Go away.
Oh, dear. That only generally tends to happen if I've watched like several kind of social justice type videos in a row.
Thing is, I don't even do that. I can watch a game trailer and then it decides, you know, did you know that, you know, the Jews live in a hollow earth and it, or, you know, something like that. I'm not joking. That's a real one.
What?
I said, what? What? There's so many reasons I'm not going to click on that. There's so many reasons I'm going to tell that to, you know, piss off and die. Just, no! Leave me alone. I'm a nerd.
There is a lot of shit.
Nerd, not a Nazi.
There is a lot of shit on YouTube. There's a lot of good stuff, but there's also a lot of shit.
Yeah. And I don't care how many times YouTube, you know, this is game related at least, you know, tries to push it at me, I don't want to watch someone else play Minecraft for 3 hours.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't care.
I mean, I don't play Minecraft anyway, but.
No, yeah. I don't play Minecraft, but I, you know, my nephew plays it.
Hmm.
And, you know, my wife's played it a little bit because, you know, she's played it with, you know, nephew.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, that's interesting how you can, you know, make these mechanisms and things. So, you know, that's all cool. And, you know, it's nice enough. It's just, it's not for me.
That's right.
But it will keep saying, oh, you've watched a trailer for Mass Effect. Here, watch something for, you know, someone playing Minecraft for several hours. Is it? No. So at least it's not a Nazi playing Minecraft for several hours. So you know, at least you're upping your game there, YouTube.
Emily, have you been watching anything recently? That's anything extra to what we've discussed?
Still trying to get through first season of Preacher.
Oh, yes.
At the moment.
You do that while exercising.
Yeah.
That's it. I will admit that's a little bit slow.
Yeah. I mean, we're on to, I think, episode maybe 7 or 8. Maybe.
So you'll have got past the Mugtail fight.
Yes. Got past that.
Yeah, that for me, that was one of the points where it kind of clicked, and I thought, yeah. Because up until then, I was watching it because it was Preacher, and you know, I loved the comics. Yeah. And he said, oh no, hang on, this is kind of, you know, clicking a bit more now.
But it's definitely been taken a while. I've taken a break from American Gods the past couple of weeks because just too heavy with everything that's going on. But then I went and watched House of Cards, so, you know.
To be fair, at least that's kind of traditional political, you know.
Yeah.
So also, House of Cards is, you know, it's gone from, oh, this is so insane, to it's kind of comfortable now. It's this world makes more sense.
Well, in comparison to our world currently, where, you know, you've obviously got Trump in power, and you've got all the gaffes that he keeps on making, and you've had the recent general election after the Brexit debacle. In the UK, and now it's looking like I don't know whether we're going to have another general election anytime soon. It's just like, what the fuck is going on in the real world? I want to go into House of Cards world because that actually makes sense.
I prefer the idea of a murderous, sociopathic, power-hungry bastard being in charge than an idiotic, narcissistic man-child who just tweets whatever the hell he's thinking of while he's sitting on the toilet watching Fox News.
At least, you know, the Underwoods don't tend to give away secrets to the Russians.
And if they did, it would be for a very, very, very specific reason, and not just because they wanted to show off in the Oval Office.
Hmm.
But, okay, so other than Preacher, House of Cards, American Gods, which, as I said, I've had a break the last couple of weeks. Finished watching Lucifer a few weeks ago. And couldn't believe where season 2 ended. That was insane.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Sorry? I was fiddling around with my headset.
Ah, okay. It was making a buzzing noise, but that's all right.
It may have been too close to the microphone.
Ah, okay.
But I don't think I've really watched this because the Supernatural had its season finale airing in the UK last Wednesday, and watching that for a third time did not make any of it easier. There is certainly I am wondering quite how Mark Shepherd feels about things and what went down to lead to the finale going the way it did, because in the weeks since it aired, he's not been particularly happy with anything related to the show.
Oh, so you think he may have been pushed?
Well, it's either he asked for a raise, complained about the writing for his character,
or... Which, to be fair, there is quite a bit to complain about.
There is, certainly this past season. Or, it was his time to go, but then, like, people like Jim Michaels, who's one of the exec producers, kind of go, oh, like, you know, never say never kind of stuff about characters coming back, because in Supernatural, like, almost anyone can come back. And Mark being like, nope. But also, he is no longer, after this year, doing a creation entertainment conventions for Supernatural in the States, which is like the Supernatural conventions. He hasn't renewed a contract for it. And he says he's not going to be, but he said he will be at other conventions. He's just not doing Creations ones.
It kind of sounds like he's a little bit irked.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's the great drama slowly unraveling in Convention World for Supernatural after Justin Bello Convention, which is the one that happens in Rome, Italy, ended up deciding to have itself on the same weekend as the UK convention for Supernatural in May next year.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, and currently I think Mark Shepherd is the only big star confirmed for Asylum. I think that he doesn't tend to go to Justin Bello, aka Gibcon, because there's a lot of booze there, and he's sober, so it's kind of unpleasant for him to go to it. Asylum, they had Misha Collins this year in May, but they didn't have Jared and Jensen, which are obviously Sam and Dean. And it's getting a little interesting because it's like that Jared and Jensen are confirmed for Justin Bello next year, but then if Misha doesn't confirm for Asylum, that means that none of the main three are going to be at the UK convention next year.
That's a little bit of an issue.
Especially when their top tier ticket is £595 and you don't have any of the main stars.
No.
Exactly. That's about $770, which would probably have been the price of a gold ticket at one of Creation's events in one of the lesser kind of popular areas, which didn't have much tax added to like convention tickets either. There were, I would say at least last year, there were certainly still some under 800 for a gold pass in the States. But for a gold pass in the States, unless it's like there is a amazingly high emergency, you at least got Jared, Jensen, and Misha over the course of the weekend. A ridiculous amount of photo ops available to buy, though the photo ops purchasing system for Asylum is on some very weird lottery system. So you pay like a lot of money to then not get a lot of things, as far as I can tell, of Asylum.
How's about no?
Yeah, I get
this. If I was spending a huge amount of, if say it was something like a Star Trek Next Generation or something like that, I would expect if I was going to fork out like 800 or something, something mad, dollars, I would expect probably like a meal with them all or something.
So
for that. For that kind of level, it's just, are you insane?
Yeah, they charge crazy money. Rogue, who organises the UK one, do as well. But obviously not actually getting much for your money. And I am wondering if the reason that J2 have decided to go with Justin Bello next year is because the last UK one they went to, which was Asylum in May of 2016, it was pretty piss poorly organised, and there were a lot of issues with crowd organisation and stuff, and there being like too many people in various bits of the hotel and stuff, and there was just this general very bad mismanagement, which led to like quite an unpleasant atmosphere for most of the weekend. So I do wonder if that's one of the reasons why they've decided they don't want to come back, which is a shame because, it's the only UK convention that they were coming to. And Justin Bello, which is the one in Rome, is actually even harder to get tickets for than the British one because it's on a really strange kind of like half lottery system, half like first come first served weird kind of like you've got only like a couple of minutes to buy tickets. It's Comic Con but with even fewer tickets kind of deal. It's insane. So yeah, Anyway, that's me done moaning about that.
Okay, so I guess that's us done for tonight. So it's goodbye from...
It's goodnight from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
And it's goodnight from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EK6891.
It's goodnight from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter's at Paul Blewett. You can find show notes over at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk. We're on Twitter as at Nerds Podcast. We're on Stitcher and iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like I've left out something.
You can find us on Facebook. At
oh, yes, Assemble Facebook, Podcast. Of course.
Yeah.
That thing that I haven't actually been on that much the past couple of days, I don't think.
To be fair, it's like post-election blowout. Why would you want to?
That's very true. That's very true.
So, oh, everything's on fire?
Yes.
Again?
Yes.
Yes. And there is the potential for even more fire in the immediate future.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's cleansing fire.
Good night.
Nothing's being cleansed.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Oh, by the way, next episode is episode 200.
We have no idea what we're doing.
No change.
Yeah, no change. Good night.
Good night.